You know, we mentioned what producer Pete noticed, and then if you click around, you find out that there are people in grocery stores, the consumers going in, shoppers, and some of the store shelves are empty. This isn't the pandemic again. It was a cyber attack. Hey, John, I was wondering about Whole Foods. I couldn't get any bread, canned foods, or frozen items. Grain and pasta, empty. 847, our Whole Foods in the city is barren. I had to go to Jewel for the first time in years. John, my son works for a grocery chain in Minocqua, Wisconsin, and they have been affected by the same cyber attack. Their supplier warehouse is in Stevens Point, Wisconsin, and they're not getting their products because their ordering is computerized. Wow. Okay. So speaking of food, let's visit with our favorite nutritionist and dietitian. That's Dawn Jackson Blattner, the author and dietitian at dawnjacksonblattner.com and DJ Blattner on Instagram. Hi, DJ Blattner on Instagram. Welcome back.
Well, hello. Thanks for having me, John.
You heard about this thing with the grocery stores?
Yeah. I mean, you know, it is one of those things where, you know, it seems a little bit scary, but then you think, okay, this is a good reminder to make sure that my freezer has frozen fruits and vegetables, that they are as nutritious as fresh, and it's good to stock up and have those. You know, do I have pantry staples? So I use sort of things like this and the reminder about how it was in pandemic, you know, to think about pantry staples, like even canned beans we talk about all the time, and nuts and seeds. There's a lot of stuff that we could stock up at, you know, at home and still have food very nutritious for ourselves.
I want to confess something to you. Brenda made a chicken casserole. The recipe we got from my sister-in-law, and it's got a lot of really good vegetables in there and some chicken, and I'm not sure what's in it, but it's delicious. And I thought it was vegetable rich. Hooray. So it was in a big Pyrex dish, and we ate it and loved it, but we had a lot of it left. I have still been eating it after many days, and I seem to be fine. And my rationale was that it was cooked, so whatever the germs were got killed. And then it's been refrigerated in between uses. I hope my wife isn't listening because she would have thrown it out. But I have been enjoying it. Dawn, your thoughts?
Yes. Okay. So, you know, leftovers and food safety, it's a real thing, you know, especially for people who are immunocompromised or older. So the thing is most of the time food that's cooked like that is about 5 days in the fridge. That's true. But the other thing that's important is if you are reheating it, reheating is 165. And so I actually have right by my microwave, right by my stove, I have a quick read thermometer. I'm telling you, you know, it's 5 seconds. It doesn't take very much time at all. And I love to do that. And we even do like leftovers for a little dog we babysit. And I, you know, I don't want to make this little 5-pound dog sick. So every time I'm reheating the food for even her, I'm just throw that thermometer in for 5 seconds. See if you're at 165. It's great. There's also websites like homefoodsafety.org that you can look up that tells you like how long you can keep your leftovers in the fridge. But like I said, most of the time you got 5 days, and just reheating it safely is going to be like your absolute key to success.
That's really helpful, Dawn. I'm glad you reminded us of that. I don't do that, but I will happily do so. You were talking to producer Pete about Flavin 3 Oles. What am I reading here?
What kind of word is that? Flavin 3 Oles. Okay, so here's what happens. You know, every single week there are hundreds of nutrition and health research articles that come out. So I'm always scanning, always looking. So I'm scanning through and I see, oh my gosh, a 33% lower risk of dying from any cause. I'm like, what is this? Like, what is happening? I've got to read this study. A 33% lower risk of dying from any cause. Like, what? So here's what happened in this study. It's over 2,000 people in there. They were watched for 10 years. So this is an association study. It's not cause and effect, which is the most powerful, but association. And they found the people who had the most Flavin 3 Oles in their diet were the ones that had this protective risk from everything. And these Flavin 3 Oles, like if you look at other kinds of research studies, there's improvement in blood pressure, there's improvement in glucose, even lipid levels. I am like, oh my God, we all have to figure out what these Flavin 3 Oles are. What are they?
Yeah.
What kind of foods do I need to eat? And how many of these foods do I need to eat? So here is the gist of these Flavin 3 Oles, okay? really, really a ton in green tea and cocoa powder. Okay, a ton, way more than just about anything else in our food supply. So I got to say, what I have committed to in my own heart, which I feel like I've disclosed before, but I never really do, but I have to do, is I want to drink more iced green tea. Like, this is a no-brainer. This is amazing. It's refreshing. You only need 8 ounces of it. And you are halfway to the dose that they did in this research study if you have this one glass of green tea. Black tea is also good, but it doesn't have as much as the green tea does. Cocoa powder, it's delicious. If you could get unsweetened cocoa powder, put a tablespoon in your oatmeal, put a tablespoon in your smoothie. That is also a major powerhouse. So those are the two ways to really get
cocoa
a lot.
Powder. Then, cocoa powder.
Yes.
Cocoa
yes.
powder.
And so,
how about
yeah,
I eat
delicious.
A Hershey bar or something like that?
Okay. So in the next tier, a little bit lower than this green tea power and the actual like cocoa powder are chocolate bars, like you're saying, dark chocolate bars that are 70% cacao or higher, or fruits. Things like, okay, it's not all kind of fruit. It's apples, pears, berries, and grapes. So you could hit what this research study said if you had one cup of green tea or one tablespoon of cocoa powder plus one or two servings of those fruits, apples, pears, berries, grapes. And listen, all that's delicious. Like, how we could love this stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's so protective that, you know, that's something, you know, I say to myself all the time. It's just this little habit of like, hey, did you go to the store and pick up either apples or pears, some berries or grapes, have them in your house? You'll eat them, one or two servings a day. Did you have your glass of green tea in the day, or have you used your scoop of cocoa powder? It's like not that hard to do these things, and it's an incredible health benefit. And who knew we all needed Flavin 3 Alls? Who knew?
Remember, we podcast these conversations. So if you miss any of that, after the show, go to the John Williams page, click on the Don Jackson Blattner conversation, and write all of that down. That is so interesting, Don. Here's some,
it is.
Here's some questions from our listeners. You ready?
Yes.
312-981-7200. You can call as well. Is it true that a banana in your smoothie cancels out the benefits of the berries?
Oh my gosh, this is a big study that happened a couple of years ago, and now it's like reemerging. It is true in some sense that the banana is decreasing some of the absorption of the good, what we're talking about, these polyphenols in the berries, some. However, the study was not done on a regular person drinking a regular smoothie. It was like a supplemental smoothie with supplements in it, so it's not, it wasn't mimicking real life. However, you got to remember that bananas are good in of themselves. So here's how I'm using this study.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm making a smoothie with just berries. I'm omitting my banana. And sometimes I'm making it with berries and the banana. So the idea is that sometimes I'm getting a little bit more of that polyphenol-rich berries going right into my blood. And sometimes I'm getting the good nutrition of the resistance starch and the potassium and magnificence that is a banana. So it's really not all or nothing. There's part truth to that study, but it doesn't mean ditch your banana 100%.
You know, Don, I'm just sitting here thinking about your intestinal tract, and I don't say that to people that often. You must have the healthiest organs. You must just be, like, I want to come back as your pancreas or spleen or something, because it just seems like you're so considerate to your gut.
Well, hey, thank you for that. I do try. I am definitely one of these people who believes in progress, not perfection. So, you know, I'm having pizza with the best of them. I'm having rosé on the river walk with the best of them. So I'm really still living my life, but I do try and take good care of my body and my innards, because like you said, I mean, they are working hard for me. So I do try and care for them. The biggest thing for everyone to think about is to know your markers. You know, we've talked about this before, but like, you know, I don't just guess if I'm being healthy by eating these things or doing my weightlifting or jump rope or whatever. Is I really do like to have every 6 months blood work done so that I can keep track of, you know, what is my cholesterol level? What is my blood pressure? What is my glucose level? You know, those are important numbers for us to keep track of, because just because I'm saying I'm eating healthy or I might look healthy, mm-hmm. it's really helpful to know
yeah.
your actual numbers and take charge of your health.
what our financial guys say. Do you know where your investments are? Do you know what your numbers are? Pay attention. Don, what do you make, though, about a supplement? Like, say, Metamucil. If I'm not getting enough, what would that be a substitute for? A roughage or something?
Fiber. And fiber. Listen, we're all very, very low in fiber. Every statistic that always comes out, low in fiber. Fiber is one of the most important things for gut health, which is tied to brain health and heart health and immunity and everything. So making sure you eat, you know, as we talk about all the time, the number one source, beans. I mean, if you could just make sure that you throw beans into your salads and things, you'd really go a long way. But oatmeal and berries like raspberries are very high. So a dessert of like raspberries.
Don, I heard raspberry is like the bomb. That's the best fruit for fiber.
Yeah. So high, yes. And I have a cheat sheet on my website of like fiber-rich foods. And you can see how it actually all really can add up pretty quickly. But if you really are still feeling like, okay, even with that fiber cheat sheet, I'm still struggling. Yes, that's where supplements can come in. You know, just like any supplement, it's in addition to what you're doing in your diet. And if you're having trouble, supplements can help bridge the gap in certain situations.
Just looked over at the phone and chuckled because all the phone lines are ringing for Don Jackson Blattner. Don, when's the last time you had 7 hot dogs in a row?
Well, I can't say that I have, although when my stepson was a younger kid, we used to go watch Joey Chestnut do his thing. So I have to say I've been pretty close to Joey Chestnut and really watched this happen. It's shocking. But, you know, I love a hot dog at a baseball game. I'm going to tell you, that's where I enjoy my hot dogs.
You have been at the hot dog eating contest?
Yes, I needed to admit that to you. Yes, exactly.
This,
yes, I've been there.
We
used to go to like Sheboygan Brat Days a lot. That was like our big like family vacation every year, and they would come a lot to do those eating contests there.
I can't even talk to you about that.
I know. Okay. I hear you.
Let's go to Tom. You're on WGN with Don Jackson Blattner. Tom, what can we do for you?
Oh, hi, guys. Yeah, I've got one question. Actually, I got two questions. I just thought of another one. But the first one is, Don, you mentioned apples being very healthy. Now, what if you could pick one apple that would have the highest level of those isoflavones? I've always liked the green apple or the Granny Tart because I've heard they're lower in sugar. What do you think about the apples?
Oh, no. Actually, what's so interesting is apples, no matter their color, are amazing for you. And some people would even argue that red, because of the actual color and phytochemicals in them, might be better. But they're actually pretty even. And why we love them is, one, they have this really cool pectin in there, which is a type of fiber that acts magnificently in our gut. They have amazing amounts of polyphenol, sort of how you were saying. That's very true. And I got to say, they are one of those, you know, old wives' tale foods, like an apple a day keeps a doctor away. But, I mean, I'm in for it. We try and eat an apple a day over here. So any type of apple, as long as you eat the skin, please, people, do not peel the skin from your apples.
Really? Is that where all the value is?
There's so much value. It's in the whole thing, but you will really, really, really get so much benefit by eating the skin. So like anytime I see somebody make like an apple crisp and they're peeling it, literally I am crying. I am like, oh my gosh, they cannot do this. Please just use your skin. Eat the skin. Everything is the skin.
Andy, you're on WGN with Don. What can we do for you, Andy?
Yeah, I got a couple questions. I've been drinking skim milk for almost 45 years. Lately, I hear too much skim milk is really bad for you, with something with, I don't know, some type of cancer. Do you believe in this stuff, or is this Google just telling you you're dying?
Oh, so the question about what type of either milk or yogurt, everybody is talking about, should it be skim, should it be 2%, should it be whole? And at the end of the day, they all have the nutrients that helps blood pressure and helps our bones, like calcium and potassium. So you can choose whatever you want. However, I do encourage people to do 2%. So the reason why I say that is because for active people, there is a compound in the milk fat called CLA that's very helpful for maintaining muscle mass. So if you love skim, your heart loves it because it's lower in fat. But if you are an active person who's interested in maybe getting some of these CLA benefits, the 2% is also a great choice.
You haven't heard anything, or there's no need to worry about increasing your risk of disease or cancer with 2% or skim, rather?
In terms of nutrition, they all look very similar on like the main macronutrients other than fat.
All right. What about this, Dawn? Yep. Does green tea have to be caffeinated?
Oh, no. You can actually do decaf. That's a great question. So it could also be decaf. If we are all icing it during the day and trying to drink our 8 ounces, it could be decaf or caffeinated.
I'm not a vegetarian, but I love vegetables, making grilled ratatouille for dinner tonight. But I'm not a fan of mushy veggies. Is there a way to make frozen vegetables as crunchy as fresh?
Oh, no. I will say I've tried a lot of different ways, air fryer to see if they crisp up, or putting them in a hot oven already, but they will not ever have that super al dente crispness that a fresh one does. But that's why I would say for a lot of things, like if you're using frozen vegetables, lean into the things where texture doesn't matter as much, whether that's frittatas or whether that's like, you know, even a ratatouille where you're cooking things quite a bit and it's a little bit softer. But generally, like I say, the frozen hot oven or air fryer is probably your best bet to release some of that water so they have a little bit better texture.
Please ask Dawn Jackson Blattner to spell that flavin word.
Yeah, let's all try and spell it together. So it's F-L-A-V-A-N,
Flavin. Yeah, Flavin, yes. Okay, yeah.
Yes, -3-OL, which is O-L-S. So if you're going to like Google it and look for the studies, that's how you spell it. It's with the dashes in there, Flavin-3-OL.
Dawn, I have so many recipes that require cream of mushroom soup or chicken soup. What's a healthier option?
Okay, first of all, you can still go with the classics. Just try and buy the low-sodium version of that. And then there are people who will do white beans pureed and add that in with other seasoning. So like anytime you're looking for a savory dish that has a creamy texture, white beans pureed smooth adds awesome thickness, but they don't add much flavor. So you just do have to add a little more of like the garlic or a little more of the thyme or rosemary, whatever is in the recipe to flavor that up.
To flavin it up.
I was just going to say flavin three all it up. Yeah.
Exactly. All right. One quick question from Dawn, for Dawn from Karen. Go ahead, Karen. What do you need to know?
Hi. You keep talking about beans and I would love to do that, but I have arthritis and I was told not to eat nightshades and beans is part of nightshades. So what, because it increases inflammation. So what could I use instead?
Okay, so that would not be something that is shaking out in science. When you look at beans, black beans, white beans, pinto beans, soybeans, is that it's actually been tied and associated with a lower inflammatory diet. So I don't follow that advice. I don't teach that advice. But when it comes to beans, there really is nothing like it because they're plant protein and they're fiber. So there really isn't a great swap out there for that.
Good luck to you on that. And again, Dawn said, how about 1 cup of iced green tea, maybe a tablespoon of cocoa powder, and apples, pears, berries, and I think the other one was grapes, Dawn?
Yes.
And
yes.
You are on your way to a Flavin 3-OLS diet that's healthy. Okay. Wow. Dawn, as always, very helpful. We love you, and we hope you join us again.
Thank you so much. Have a healthy week. I'll talk to you next week.
Or I'm never going to talk to you again because of the Joey Chestnut thing. So give me a week to...
Yeah, see if you cool down, simmer down, and maybe we can meet next week.
My stars.